Good evening, everybody, and welcome to the podcast on the Sicha, where we unpack one of the weekly Sichas of the week for Project Likutei Sichas. I'm Rabbi Shmuel Nachlis in Toronto, Ontario. I'm joined together with my two friends, Rabbi Moshe Grari in Toms River, New Jersey, and Rabbi Yisrael Wilhelm in Boulder, Colorado. Today, we're going to be discussing and analyzing, unpacking, vibranging about the second Sicha of Vayakel, in Chelek Chaf Vav. So just to open up with a question, when we talk about a ruptured relationship, so how is it or why is it that voluntary giving or going beyond what the expectation is that the only way to really demonstrate that a relationship is fixed, more than just doing what you're supposed to or what's scripted, asking forgiveness, and is that a way to really, you know, fix a relationship? How do we do it? So to open up and to sort of see what we're talking about in the Parsha, Moshe, if you could set the table for us.
Okay, so we're in Parshas Vayakel, which we know that Vayakel and Pkudei, in a sense, are a repetition of Truma and Tetzaveh. In Truma and Tetzaveh, Hashem is talking to Moshe about what to tell the Yidden. In Vayakel and Pkudei, Moshe is talking to the Yidden. And in a sense, the Rebbe is contrasting Truma and Tetzaveh and Vayakel and Pkudei as not just what we just said, Hashem talking to Moshe, Moshe talking to the Yidden, but actually two different concepts that are related to the building of the Mishkan. And the entranceway, the gateway into analyzing these differences is the fact that in Parshas Vayakel, there seems to be a new kind of giving introduced, which is Koil Nediv Lev Yivieha, that anybody who is Koil Nediv Liboy, anybody who is generous of heart should bring it. And the Mefarshim explain that there was the Machzes HaShekel, the half shekel, that was obligatory, mandatory upon each household, upon each male to bring. And then there was another type of donation, which was not mandatory. It was inclusive of men and women, and the amount was not designated. Each person could choose the amount. And while that's a very beautiful distinction, the question the Rebbe zeroes in on is there's no mention of that, at least in the pasuk, in the words of the psukim. There's no mention of this voluntary donation. As a matter of fact, the expression used in Teruma, Parsha's Teruma, is tikhu and v'yikhu, taking versus giving. And of course, there's no mention of Nediv Lev. And this brings to the conversation of what really is the difference between Parsha's Teruma and Parsha's Vayakel. And I'll let Yisrael take it from here.
Before you go further, if you Yisrael, you want to just address this. So what would place the time period, the situation, giving, what are we giving? Why are we giving? What are we doing with the money? Well, just a little bit of extra background for the listener.
Continue over here.
Pardon?
Or Moshe, just give it, besides the technicals in the Parsha, of the words in the Parsha, like just paint a picture of where we are in history, what's going on here, where's
okay.
This going? What's actually happening? And then we could understand the different kinds of giving. And but what's the story here?
I gotcha. Perfect. So the Yidden came out of Mitzrayim, and 49 days later, they received the Torah on Har Sinai. 40 days later, they worshipped the Egel Azov, the golden calf. And it took 120 days, or rather 80 days, rather, from that point, which is Yom Kippur, actually, where Moshe comes down and says, Vayomer Hashem, Slachti Kidverecha, the Eibishter did forgive for the sin of the Egel Azov, actually brought forgiveness into the world. And the next day, at least according to Rashi, Moshe tells the Yidden that the Eibishter gave us a mitzvah of building a Mishkan, building a tabernacle, a place where Hashem's presence could dwell in this world. And this is a tool in bringing the forgiveness and in knowing that the forgiveness is real. If Hashem dwells his Shechina, his presence amongst us, that's a sign that he accepted our requests for forgiveness and atonement. So now we're in this about 6 months, just about after the Yidden went out of Mitzrayim, and they're working their way to find themselves once again in Hashem's good graces, and they're doing so by building a Mishkan, a physical structure that will draw down the Shechina into this world. And in order to do so, the Eibishter says the first thing we need is the Yidden to actually contribute money and materials to be able to build the Mishkan, which of course, as Chassidus has explained, is the idea of elevating the physical world and the physical materials of this world, and to make them spiritual, to make them holy, and to transform them. So that's sort of the background. And in doing so, there was a machzis shekel, a half shekel, that was used for the adonim, which are the sockets that were the foundation of the Mishkan. There was a half shekel that was used, that was given annually. The first half shekel was done once, and that's it. The second half shekel was done on an annual basis, and that was used for the karbonos. And then there was an open-ended a donation where anybody could choose what to give and how much to give. Based on their talents, based on the generosity of their heart, that would be used for all the other things that the Mishkan needed in order to be built.
Yeah. So, what the Rebbe basically essentially lays the foundation over here, that it's not just to take some materialism and to switch it into Ruchnius, which is atonement for the Avera, for the sin. But it's a little more than that. The Avera was the passion they had in gold, in the Egel Azov. And here they had to take gold or money and show passion for Hashem. So obviously, if Hashem tells them to give money, if Hashem would tell me to give money, then it's great. Then of course I would have passion. I'll do it with excitement. But that's not the defining.
Is that like Israel? Is that like what I call you to tell you to give to my campaign? You have to give.
Correct.
To the campaign.
In other words, if a friend calls me, I'm
how much am I giving? How much am I giving
to give?
How much am I giving? I'm giving, and that's the way it goes. It's not
right. Sometimes when a friend calls you, you almost say, "Just give me a number. Just tell me what are you looking for."
What I have to do. What I have to do.
Exactly, and you're done. You're okay. What do you want? This one, fine. Next. So obviously, if Hashem was talking to me and telling me, give a half a shekel, I would run, and this can give me the kapara for my aveda, I would run and do it b'simcha. But that's not defining in that you really are changed, that you really care about this relationship. And this is the gist of the sicha, that by yakel, which adds no amount and says it should be from your own, it's because Hashem doesn't want to tell them to do it. Hashem wants to see they're on their own, they're excited, without being given anything specific, not being asked that there's a general campaign and it's also your own, do whatever you want. And when the Yidden in this week's parsha showed that they have this nediv lev, this joy, and as the Rebbe says, the words in the nesinis atruma besimcha uvelev shalim, with joy and with a complete heart, besimcha uvelev shalim, that was the indication that they really cared about this relationship, that they really wanted to reconnect with the Eibusher. And that is why the Mishkan was the ultimate tshuva for the Chet HaEgel. And this is really what we want to talk about. We want to talk about I think this is the best Rav Rengen, talk about from a tshuva perspective and just in general, is anything in Yiddishkeit, our relationship with Hashem, our relationship with Yiddishkeit, is what's coming because we're told to do it, because we're dictated, this is what has to be done, and what's coming from our own passion and desire when it's yours. And Shmuel, this is what I want to ring about this.
It brings to mind, I know that sometimes we're biased, especially the three of us, because we always pull everything back to look at the Sichos. because that's what we love to do. But Marshall, remind me of the story. I remember one year we were one of the first years we were running our campaign for Project Likud HaSichas, and there was a story about, I think, correct me if I'm wrong, Rabbi Zients, you probably know the story better than I do, where he was trying to organize a gala of some sort. And but Marshall, tell over the story.
I don't remember the details of the story, but I believe that there was I believe it was Rabbi Chanan who was involved with printing the Likutei Sichas at that time, and he was planning a trip to Brazil. And again, you put me on the spot here. I don't remember the details of the story, but I believe the gist, the punchline of the story is that the Rebbe said to not make a campaign to raise for Likutei Sichas because such a thing should be paid for, should come from the people themselves without having to make a campaign about it.
Right. It's almost like it's not one of those obligatory, things that must be done. Certain things have to be done. If you're a chassid, you have to do them. You have to learn chitas. You have to do Rambam. You could go on and on about the list of things that that are scripted and are very clear. It just brought to mind when you were talking, Israel,
Oh yeah,
about.
it's actually I didn't think of this before, but it's excellent. Balakut Yisichus. It's actually brilliant what you're
And we're
saying.
coming off of Simi Rambam now, so
No,
like.
no, look, for real, because the whole Likutei Sichas happened because Chassidim, specific Chassidim, right, demanded from the Rebbe that it happens. The Rebbe never edited a Sicha on his own until there was a push from the Chassidim to do it. And the Rebbe stopped. And this happened multiple times. And again, it happened with Mukadikim and Marim. It happened specifically. It was never Bilamaila. It was the Rebbe was waiting for someone to show an interest. And there's many stories around this, and we can talk about the story, but it's the fact that the Mukadika, all the stuff the Rebbe edited, happened because Chassidim pushed the Rebbe to do it. And that's ultimately, and then look what we have today. And look what we have today.
But I think in this, it's even more because it's not only the editing and all the time that went into it, but just the reason I bring it up specifically is about the money involved, right? If you make a particular event and everybody has to pay, $180, $300, $500, whatever, $1,000 to buy a plate to come to the dinner, whatever, the event that you have to do, it becomes an obligation. It becomes something that you have to do. And from my understanding of the story, is that the Rebbe wanted it that if it should be kol nediv liboy, that if somebody understands, if you understand, you understand. If you don't, you don't. But it shouldn't be something which is scripted and mandated, as an obligation of this is how much you should give, type of thing.
Sticking it to the muscle, when you go to the a fundraising session or a fundraising coach, they'll always tell you that when you go to solicit a donation, you should give an amount. You don't go to someone and say, "Can you donate?" So someone that you invest the time in and you think that he has potential, you try to the best of your ability to figure out what you can ask for, and you ask, let's say, you're asking for $10,000. Now, why? Because if you give if you don't ask for a number, he'll give 180. If you don't ask for a number, maybe he'll give 100,000. So usually you say that that risk isn't worth it, because if you do your research, you ask what you think you can get, and if you get that, that's a success. And what we're seeing over here is that sometimes the Eibishter takes that risk on us. Because he doesn't want us to give 10,000, he wants us to give 100,000 and more. So he doesn't give us an amount. He doesn't say exactly do this in this context. He says we need a Mishkan, and he wants us from on our part to go all in, whatever that number is. Whatever that number is, that means I'm not just contributing. I'm not just paying my dues, but I'm chvarv. That's where we see that the person is in. And anything you ask for automatically robs us of the ability to ask ourselves and to prove to ourselves that we're all in.
It's almost like that if you have to script it, you're removing the ability for the giver to fully express themselves because you're taking away their own contribution, you're taking away their personality, you're taking away their creativity, you're taking away their intuition, you're taking away all their perspective from where they're coming from to be able to bring that to the table. You're sort of taking away all those options. You're saying, I'll help you, I'll make your life a lot easier. Here's the check you need to write. And the check could be written and done. Instead, in this circumstance, what we're seeing is that there's something far greater to allow the person to run on their own and to be able to have that opportunity of expression, you know, and to be and where that could go is in so many different places. But forget about the amount of money for a second. What it's really doing is it's investing that, giving them the opportunity to invest personally themselves.
Actually, I have to say this. I mean, this is just glaring. The way you, I got the whole model that they're at the set up in Chabad houses is mamish. It's not the membership model. A membership model is machzor shekel. And a lot of people are very excited to give.
That's the Judaism model today.
And people are very excited to give. Don't get me wrong. There's a lot of people who don't see membership as a burden. They love it. The Rebbe wanted that us shluchim should make other yidden into partners with that work. It's more than just I'm giving X amount. And whether it's a dollar, literally, the amount is so irrelevant. It's that they want to be able to become part of this.
You know, there's Yisrael. There's. I have to. Sorry to interrupt you. You're actually being something amazing on the internet. There's different services that are provided. I don't know if it's still like this, but there was a time period. It was very in vogue, where there were certain services provided, and people weren't charging for them a specific amount, and they'd say you give what you want. Like you give what you want, it's open. You give a dollar, you can give $1 million, and it was a almost like hippie popular approach to commerce in certain areas. I think it was like for buying music, or there was a few different things. You know, for people who have photography, they're selling, you know, stock images, so they could sell them at, you know, the market value, or they could say, what is it worth to you, or how do you feel about it, or what do you want to invest in it. It's the same concept. And I mean, your example about our investment in shluchas and our moistus and people investing into what is going on locally in the community versus a membership, that's brilliant. I mean, it's that model, but being able to sell that conviction in Yiddishkeit.
Right,
not
it's bamish, like, for me, it's my shluchas. It's my shluchas is to watch people who... And not be have, I mean, I'm on campus there, so they left their home. Even if they were given Yiddishkeit in their home, it's for sure in a stage in life now where what we want from them, the greatest gift that they have, the greatest gift they have is that when they on their own, without even the knowledge, and it's not about that. It's that they know that they want a partnership with Hashem. They want a partnership with Yiddishkeit, and they invest it and they care about it. I mean, this is. If we're honest, we also work with youth. It's the most inspiring thing.
I have to tell you a story. I remember when we were buying the land for our property here, and we needed $100,000, and we had zero to start with. It's 10, 12 years ago. And so I put out a thing, you know, who wants to help us? You know, like I didn't know where I was going to start. And it was one of my alumni came into my office, and he wrote a check for $360. So... From a numbers and money perspective, it's a failed campaign. You can't go anywhere with $360. It's not, you know, the $100,000 is just to get the foot in the door, right? But I remember how I felt. I still remember his name. I'm still close with it. I still am so thankful for that expression of participation and wanting to be. It wasn't a dollar amount. It's so sincere, and it's because there was no dollar amount. It's like, who wants to be part of this with me? Who wants to take a leap of faith together to do this project together? Who, at whatever level, there was people who gave $18,000. There was people who gave $180, but the coming on their own was just like so meaningful. You know, it's the same concept. But
there's another aspect here. Yeah. In other words, what you're both saying is very, very true. That we, in the goal of Shlichus and the Fitzayim and the Rebbe changing the world, this is the model that Rebbe uses. Also, in those who he entrusted and entrusts to do this, you also have the same concept. And you find in the Sichus, where we know there's three levels in Shlichus, and the highest of Shluchus, Ladin Kemoisai, Kemoisai Mamish. And the Rebbe often says in the Sichus, that the difference between the high, the third level of Shluchas Adam Kemoisei and the ultimate Shluchas Adam Kemoisei is that the Shliach is his own person. Now, on the one hand, he's Shluchas Adam Kemoisei. On the other hand, it's his talents and it's his innovation and it's his ability. If you speak, for example, about the first $360 for that piece of land, but then if you look at your building today, and obviously you look at it every day, but if we see it as outsiders, we see someone who took the Rebbe's vision. And with his you and your wife together, with your own talents and your own abilities, you created something that never existed before. Nowhere in the Sichas will you find where the Rebbe says build a Jewish youth center the way it was built in Toronto. But you took your kaiches and your chushim, you and your wife together, and you built something that now created a foundation that now the next person who walks in wants to be part of that, wants to give the 360 if that's his thing. So there's two levels here. There's that each of us as the Rebbe's chassidim have to find within ourselves the what we weren't told to do, but what we are good at and where we could put our whole essence into the Rebbe Shlichus and into the Rebbe Nitzayim and into this mission of changing the world, our chelek ba'olam. And then when we do it in that way, we see that it's that what we're accomplishing is we're not just raising money, we're not just building numbers, but we're literally creating tefeach hamanas latfiach. We're literally creating people that they themselves move on to becoming the Rebbe's chassidim and becoming the Rebbe's shluch.
We can fabric about this for a long time.
We are.
it's an endless topic because the greatest accomplishment that I feel on shluchas is exactly this. When a student, you know, so I teach him to put on tefillin, and then without saying a word, nothing, he's on vacation. I heard about one of our alumni walked into the dean of his university, like a very important person, like and with his parents filling the first day, you know, we got to put on tefillin. It's with, and no one ever told him to do that. In other words, we do on their own, and it's whether it's tefillin or Torah, general Yiddishkeit. It's when, and that's really about. I just want to, because I know Shmuley is getting, you know, trying to move to the next thing over here. How it relates.
How can you tell?
How it relates to tshuva. How it relates to tshuva.
I want to bring it back to that.
Right. Okay. So I want to just share one thing I heard from my niece, that and she's a therapist, and she said that, you know, she knows when someone's coming to therapy, she has the tools, and she could tell the person, like, you know, already after with them for a couple months, right, exactly how this is going to end. You know, you already know how it, in the good way, how it's going to end up changing this person. But you have to hold yourself back by not saying anything. That's the trick. And until after a while, the person's like goes, oh, wow, it's brilliant. Look, this. And you as a therapist already knew this months before. But if you say it too early, you don't give the person the ability to change. And the same thing is our relationship with Hashem. And if we call them relationships, you could talk about, but this is not a relationship session. Over here, we learned in Rambam this week how real tshuva is when you're in the same country, in the same place, with the same passion, same desires. Here, the Yidin are in the midbar with the same goal, the same everything. If they're being told by Hashem to do it, okay, so they did it, whatever. But it's when they figured it out on their own, when the excitement on their own, that's the sign that they've really. They really care about this relationship, right?
Let me rewind for just a moment, just to in the context of tshuva, because you're what we're talking about for a minute. So what happened here? You said we're not talking about relationships. We are talking about relationships. The relationship is that they, like you said before, that they had everything going for them. That all the miracles, splitting of the sea, coming out of Mitzrayim, they were just showing them, like, it's unbelievable. And they go and they make the golden calf, they make the ego, and they rupture that relationship with Hashem. It's not good. It's terrible. It's terrible. It's a terrible thing to do. It's if you just stop and pause for a minute and just think about that. Like, how could that even happen? How is that excusable? What excuse could they have? If you just stop, hold that thought for a minute. You know, how could that even be?
In other
And
words, it felt that what that they got married at Matan Torah, and it feels like this relationship never really took off. 40 days later, they were already doing the most unfaithful thing that you can do in a relationship. Go
right,
on.
and then apply that in, before you apply that into friendship and into family and spousal relationships and everything else. The concept, even between us and Hashem, if you rupture that, you do something. Sometimes you feel like you did something so bad. How do you come back from that? How do you fix that? So there's two things here. I think the way I understand, there's two things. One thing is you can look at the scripted answer is right now in this situation, you need to do the right thing. You did the right thing. You know, you have an uncomfortable relationship. You know, I got to sit next to you. I got to do this. I got to do that. I got to, whatever. I got whatever the technicalities of the scripted situation might be about doing the right thing. And if you're not sure what the right thing, ask somebody that you respect or your local rabbi or whatever it is. Fine, but that doesn't fix the relationship. That doesn't make it better. You know, in your heart of hearts, you still feel separate. And how do we do this? So the Rebbe says something interesting here in the Sicha. Maybe we can now bring the tshuva discussion into this. The repentance, the fixing of the relationship, is that what they're building here is a place for Hashem to live. And the application I just want to mention to me is like, okay, so let's say I have a fight with you, Moshe, right? We have a falling out, and the relationship is ruptured. You know, okay, fine. The last thing I want to do is be stuck at your house overnight. You know, I don't mind to send you a donation. I don't mind to whatever, but like to spend that much time with you right now under the circumstances, things are not so comfortable. Everything's wonderful, by the way. But I've said, right? So you know, that's the last thing you want to do, be alone in the elevator with that person. You know, be living in their home.
Very,
And
very
that,
beautiful point.
right? So this is the Hashras HaShchina that we're talking about. So how do you get to Hashras HaShchina? How do you get that you should feel comfortable to stay at my house? So this, the answer to that relationship question, when there's such a blockage, is called Nidvas Libay, is a person giving on this kind of level, a person investing themselves, not on a scripted level, but looking for a way to do something that's beyond what they have to do, but what they want to do. It's coming from a different place, and it represents an entire different angle in the relationship. I think that's really, we could talk about that for a minute. That is the healing process. That is, you talk about tshuva, bringing back and returning back to the way it was before. How do you get there? Go ahead.
No, I mean, I there's a sicha that we learned in Chelik Zion about tshuva, year of tshuva ava over there, and the sicha, and the Rebbe says that the difference between hazah, you know, and mikvah, and hazah is very specific, you know, you sprinkle, it's very very short, right, very specific, and mikvah is a wholesome experience, right? It's a whole thing. So hazah, is that what you said? It never says tshuva meyira. Right? I'm doing it because I want to fix relationships. So I'm just, whenever I broke that specific thing, I'm gonna check the boxes in order to fix it. But it's not a wholesome, it's not a complete experience. It's not, there's nothing beyond, you know what I mean? So you know what, you're literally just checking boxes that you were given. When you're going into a mikveh, it's a whole thing. Right? That's true with Be'ava. Right? And then Rebbe speaks about how, you know, over there, how you can totally switch everything around. Everything bad becomes good, right? That comes when it's not, I'm going through a bunch of things that I did wrong and then looking to fix each detail. It's I'm in a totally new a space. I the whole relationship is redone, is restructured, and that's real tshuva. That's real fixing a relationship is when it's everything. It's your whole life is different. Everything is not. It's nothing specific. You don't need to be told anything anymore. You are different. It's brand new, and it's because you've chosen to be that way. That's anyway. That's you know, as it relates to tshuva, at least we do need time to speak about the last. I don't know if you want to say one more thing. It would be wrong to just finish over here.
Not
At
finished
least
yet.
five
We've got
minutes.
We're not finishing yet.
not finished
So.
How about Moshe? You give us some thoughts on this, and then we'll bring in the end of the sicha after. Well, after
I'm
Moshe talks.
gonna. I'm gonna go. I'm gonna start heading towards the end of the sicha, and then I'll let you. But I'll say my my hero. And a lot of times when we speak amongst each ourselves on this podcast and beyond, we end up going to the shlichus model, because Baruch Hashem, the three of us are on shlichus, and that's the life we know best. But I think that there's a very powerful message here in the Sicha, to every single yid and every single chassid, and that is that. Ultimately, the goal is to make this world into a Dirulei Yisbarach, which is the ultimate relationship. Is that not just the Mishkan per se, but wherever we are, that we're to make this world into a dwelling place for Hashem. So, if a person is carries the title Shliach, then he has a certain structure of what he's meant to do in the world of Shlichus and being the Ka'ar of Yidden and so on and so forth. What happens if someone is not a shliach per se, meaning to say, doesn't have the tag or the card or whatever it is? And one might say, listen, my job is to support the shliach. My job is to, and I think that there's a very powerful message over here, and that is that starting from Yud Shvat, Tavshin Yud Aleph, if you will, where the Rebbe said that the mission of this Deir is to be mamshich the Shechina dalamata, is to bring the godliness into this world, then every single yid has to be part of this. And each person in their own way, whether they live in a shlichus town and do it in that way, or they might live in Los Angeles or California or New York, wherever it is, and they're just as part, or maybe even a way more of a part of this koil nediv libay. That while during the day you might whatever it is that a person is doing, you are needed for this mission of making a Dirulei Yisbarach b'tachtonim, and wherever you feel that you can contribute the most and you can contribute the best, you are the Rebbe's chassid and you are the Rebbe's foot soldier that is fulfilling this mission from wherever you are in this world, from wherever your job is, whatever you do. So that's my a takeaway from one of my takeaways from the Sicha, is that we all have to go and do the best we can in the best way we can to fulfill this goal.
In that vein, I want to open up just the end of the sicha. Wouldn't it be fair? There's so much in the sicha. We could, of course, do some let's talk forever, and we will after the podcast. But at the end of the
Just don't press stop. No, I'm kidding.
sicha, the end of the sicha, the Rebbe talks about the fact that this element of donation was all were included, men, women, and children, and in specifically, in their own right. Not necessarily as a means to a family or as a connection from the wife to the husband or part of that unit, but individually, to be part of it in their own way in the context of Vayakhel, Hakel, Anashim, Nashim, V'taf, everybody having their place, like what you were saying, Moshe. Before I turn it to Yisrael, I just want to say, for me, the words that the Rebbe says at the end of the Sicha, just as a someone who's invested, last 23 years of my life in youth work. The Rebbe says here is like just such unbelievable words that the taf, that the children are not children of the adults, so the parents could be paying members so that we could get another half a shekel. It's so that the children could be nediv liboy, so that they could be transformative, so that they could be their own entity. And it's not even to take it one step further, what they'll later grow into, which of course is important because the continuity of the Jewish people is dependent on them. We all know that. But that it's not even that. It's them for who they are today. Is there nediv libay, and they have what to contribute, men in their way, women in their way, children in their way. Just such a unbelievable thing. Sorry, Yisrael, go ahead.
So much to end off. I'm trying to wrap my head about what to say. The whole point of the end of the Sicha is that the women and were the ultimately the ones who did this job the best. The job of doing it on their own, and they led the way. And more than us boys, they're the ones who actually, got that you need, that it's about your own, and it's about your own work, and they're the ones who influence the men, as Rebbe says, to women who influence men to do tshuva, and the children who influence the parents to do tshuva. But it just reminds me that when I was a little kid, we had a neighbors Lived with Shirov, you know, up the block, him and his wife, and they were, you know, older couples. So we used to go over many times. My parents would send us to give them food there of Shabbos. And yeah, anyway, so I was a little boy, maybe, you know, 9, 10 years old. And one time I'm dropping off food, and this Rav, you know, the old man with the white beard, you know, he says, "You know why your Rebbe is greater than all the Rebbes in the world?" I don't know, also, you know. So he says, "Because your Rebbe is the only Gadol in the world who invites directly the women to speak to them and the children to speak to them. It's not beyond him to do that. You know, kick everybody out of 770. And now it's a few times a year, and the women came in, and the Rebbe didn't speak to them like they were like second class. The Rebbe Pasha academically gave them what they gave them. And for sure to the children, which is even more wild, as you said, for a Rebbe, right? That's just bringing the kids and it'd be nice and niggin, you know, a little candy, a little music, $1. The Rebbe Pasha gave half an hour sichas to these kids, you know, that proper sichas that have to be learned well, because that's the greatness of a Rebbe, of our Rebbe, to really invest properly and with respect and with kavod, and realizing that the future of the Yidden, especially in today's world more than ever, is literally dependent on the women and the children, and their influence. And yeah, and it's humbling. It's humbling that we should never feel ever, specifically with the kids, too big to invest. Like you said, if the Rebbe bought in thousands of kids a few times a year for a rally and gave proper sichus and proper invested proper time, how much more so we have the ability to actually do it, not just, as you said, as a project, but because this is really where the investment is. Anyway, there's a lot to fabricate about over here, and ultimately the sabanim, and our children are the ones, for sure my children are the ones who inspire me to become better and push me, and we should be zeicher for Mashiach to actually come in their schus. That's the bottom line, right? L'chaim.
Moshe, you have any final?
No, that's good. It's
I
good.
want to, I want to, I'm going to wrap it up then with one final thought to all our listeners. Number one, please send us your feedback, private comments, emails. We thrive on feedback. We get it from time to time. So if you're listening to this, please take a few moments to share with us what you like, what you don't like. We're talking too fast. We're talking too slow. Too much Yiddish. Too much Hebrew. Too much English, etc. That would be really, really great to hear. And I just want to finish off with.
Shmuley, they may not want to send feedback because they want it to come on our own initiative, but it's okay.
Very,
It's
very
okay.
good.
Call them the
Very good.
Dibli Boy. We'll take
Right.
what you give us and we'll build on it.
Hold on it. But I want to finish off with a call to action to everybody out there listening to ask yourself, the world is big, and regardless of who you are, and like Moshe said, where you live, I'm not sure why you picked LA in California. LA is in California. But
Just a plate of supper. Yeah.
regardless of where you are in the world, ask yourself a question. What is my Nediv Libay? What are you investing in? What is your project? What is your thing? What is your investment? Where do you express yourself best? And what are you doing about it? Hashem should bless you to be successful.
Thank you, boys.
Amen.